Welcome back to the Sexual Healing Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Pookie, where we get into life from the top of your head to the bottom of your dusty, crusty feet from my perspective as a black gay man in my 40s. Not in the grave, y'all. Just in my 40s. But okay. So I want to welcome you in if this is your first time joining us. And if you are a long-time listener, welcome. Hopefully you'll enjoy yourself and want to share us once you listen. So, let's just get into it. My goal is a 45-minute show today. Got a wedding to attend for a lovely friend and her soon-to-be bride, and just excited about that. But got some wardrobe concerns right now. Brother has not really consulted the closet, but I should be able to fit everything in there, but I just don't know how I feel about the wardrobe, so. But let's get into it. First up, I thought I'd touch a few news items that are out there in the world. I kind of call the news nowadays the assaults on our senses, and in particular, our sense of calmness and security and reality in a lot of cases. The Mueller report came out a couple weeks ago, and I don't know if a whole lot has changed. There's still a lot we don't know, because there are a lot of details in there that we still can't see. But Congress is doing its thing, and 45 is still acting a damn fool. What can we expect? It's just what he does. And I'm hoping that with all this craziness that, you know, they're able to do their job more than anything. Congress needs to be able to do its job. So I sincerely hope that we're able to have that happen just here a little bit. And that if impeachment's supposed to happen, that's what happens. At the very least, I can only hope we have a new president as a result of the 2020 election. But enough of the federal politics, but actually not exactly. Next thing up, I don't know if a lot of you know about the proposed bill in the state of Tennessee. Where they are actually trying to impose penalties, a financial penalty, and potentially jail. I don't know if they took that off the table, but certainly a financial penalty for anyone that turns in a voter registration that has an error in it of any kind, is my understanding. They are fining, I think it's $1,000 or $5,000. And the reason this is important is because it really can really negatively affect any sort of voter registration drives. You know, you have average people out there, just regular folks doing these drives, and they're not necessarily trained and know all the ins and outs. We always feel like it's a simple form, it shouldn't have any problems filling it out, but that's not what happens. You know, shit happens. And so, you know, this is looks like another way of suppressing voting. You know, there are talks again that are kind of gaining some steam about just having a automatic registration when you get a driver's license and things like that. And hopefully that'll happen. We don't know. But that one should be interesting. Last I heard, I think the state Senate was still negotiating some of the terms of that, and I think they had left the financial penalties in there last I heard. So I'll keep you posted on that. And last but not least, Bama. The state of Alabama is contemplating putting in a total ban on abortions. Doesn't matter how far along a woman is in a pregnancy. Doesn't matter how the pregnancy came about. Could be incest, could be rape. My understanding is they're trying to put a complete ban on abortion, and with the hopes of it actually being appealed, whether someone challenges it and they lose and then they appeal, or this is challenged in court and the state loses and then they can appeal it, eventually getting to the Supreme Court, which we now know is leaning on the conservative side. And frankly, I do not trust Kavanaugh. You know, there's a reason people didn't want him on the court. But aside from what he may or may not have done to Dr. Blasey Ford back in the day when he had a few too many beers one afternoon. But all right. So that is the quick news update. I don't want to get too bogged down in it. But I want to say for you, those of you that are news junkies, be sure to practice some self-care. You know, listening to this stuff and keeping an eye on what's happening in the country, it can really just put you in a bad headspace some days. So when you need to unplug, and just remember to keep breathing nice and deep from the diaphragm to stay calm. And, you know, sometimes, at least for me, I often feel like, what can I do to help change this? Because it seems, you know, if you have people in Congress that can't do shit, you have people in the Senate that can't do shit, what can we do as regular folks with a single vote that, you know, they may or may not even care about? If you have an activist spirit, then start thinking about some of the things you can do. Voter registration is one, as long as you don't have those crazy-ass laws in your state. You can do canvassing and phone calls, and you can put up a yard sign. You can have, you know, a hashtag on your profile, particularly if you post a lot or you have a big following. There are lots of small things you can do, and there are also some major things you can do. So one way to kind of counter a lot of that, any hopelessness that you might be experiencing, is to put on your activist hat and get out there and you know, be the change you want to see in the world. Just, you know, that's really what it comes down to. One of the things that happens when you're getting bombarded with this kind of news is that it can really put you in a negative headspace. For me, it kind of gets my inner critic, you know, gets his fire kind of going, where he starts chirping up and telling me about all the things that I haven't done yet, and all the things that I'm not. And, you know, that inner critic is the person that talks to you in ways that you would never allow anyone else to do. And so I wanted to talk about dealing with your inner critic today. One of the things that I've done is come to the realization, certainly with some help in therapy, is realizing that there are different parts of me. Some of them are based on just different eras of my life. Some of them are based on the roles that I play. For me, you know, there is the doctor who's in there, who's pretty intellectual guy, always thinking, asking questions, just doing a lot of that brain stuff. But there's also the part of me that's the social animal, that's out and about talking with friends and hanging out with family and doing those sorts of things. There's my inner child. You know, his nutty ass. He's a piece of work. And, you know, my adolescent self with all the angst and just like, oh, why did I do that? That guy, you know. But another part of me that I've realized, because with your inner critic, you can never silence them. They're always going to have something to say. It's a matter of how loud you allow them to be, and also how much sway you give them. So I actually think of myself now and my decision-making process as a committee, where I have, you know, those four parts of myself, and I've now added the inner critic to the party. So it's now a five-member committee, and actually it's six. Yeah, because there's that. Well, no, yeah, because it's actually seven, because I have to add in, you know, the ghetto babe who's a little ratchet and hood at times. He's in there still. He comes out to play from time to time. And also the hoe. You know, just the hoe. So those six people get to sit at the table, and I've invited the inner critic there. Because the inner critic's always going to have something to say. Always going to be talking shit. Always going to be pointing out fault with something. And trying to influence your decision making. So if you're trying to tackle something really big, and you're just, there's any doubt at all, your inner critic can really take advantage of that doubt and take you places you don't want to go, which is namely to the couch doing nothing, or to your recliner, or out turning that trick with that trade that you need to leave alone, or just also telling you that, you know, you don't have to put up with this shit. You don't have to do that job. You know, whatever it is, your inner critic has a lot to say. and you don't want to give that person too much power in your decision making. So one thing I suggest, convene your committee of all the different parts of yourself that impact your decision making. Could be your cautious, you know, person, that voice that says, "Ooh, don't do that. That's too much risk, you know, that's not who we are." It could be that side that's just young and audacious and doesn't care and doesn't even know what limitations are. All those things are a part of you. Pull them to the table, invite your inner critic to sit down, let them have their say, and then you vote. And guess what happens? The rest of you can outvote your inner critic. Because you can't silence the inner critic, you can't turn it off, you can't turn it down. You can turn it down, but you can't silence it. You can't kill it. It's always going to be there. So give it a vote. 6-1. Pretty clear decision. Give it a shot. You never know. You know, and, you know, the other thing that I find with your inner critic is when it, you know, it talks about, it tells you all the things that you aren't. Okay? And the question I have is, so if you aren't who your inner critic says you are, which, you know, inner critic might be like, you ain't shit, you're a failure, you're this, you're that, you're not capable, you're not worthy, all these wonderful things that if your friend said, "Oh, so-and-so said this about me," you'd be like, fuck them, right? Same applies to your inner critic. Fuck your inner critic. But if they are spewing all these lies, the next question I have is, well, who are you? Now, I'm not going to tackle that this week. We're going to get into that next episode. But just the real big question, who are you? Not what do you do, but who are you? We're all taking up space. We need to know who we are in doing that. I need to take a short break because my sinuses and my throat are dry as hell. I'll be right back. Bitch. All right, and we're back. So let's take a quick trip into the six brown chicks world. Question for this week is actually number 4. This one says, X would come over unannounced, fight whomever was in my bed, steal my weed and cell phone, and disappear for hours. I left her because she was toxic. Yeah. Now I miss her and she's moved on. How to get her back without seeming thirsty. Also, I may be incarcerated soon, so hurry. Brother. I feel like you should feel fortunate that she gone. Now, it's an unfortunate thing that you miss her, which means that you probably need to work on yourself before you can really be involved with anyone else. And the fact that you're going to jail soon definitely reinforces the idea that your decision-making might be a little off. Wanting her back, yeah, that's thirsty, all right. That's parched in the middle of the Sahara Desert on a 125-degree day, and it's like hour 12 of you walking. That's, yeah, you thirsty, all right. But I have to say, there is plenty of pussy out there. I don't understand. Don't understand why you go with the toxic one. Like, she fights folks in your house. How she get in? Did you let her in? Or did she not give up the key? If she acts, she shouldn't have a key. She steals from you your weed, your phone, and just takes off. But she's somebody else's problem now. Don't make her yours. You about to go to jail. So what? You want somebody to put money on your books? I suggest you negotiate a little arrangement with your mama, your auntie, somebody. If that's the concern. Your girl is not the only one that can put money on your books. Just damn. Brother, damn. But you know, I do love the browning of the world. And so I'm going to move on because I could easily talk about this for another 10 minutes. But I'm not going to do that. All right. Our first letter comes from, what's her name again? Sheila. Okay, not her real name. Sheila says, I need some help with this bitch on my job before she gets hurt. How top of an opening sentence, it just gets to the heart of the matter. I'm about ready to catch a case. She is my coworker, not my supervisor, who does little to no work. But she's always trying to find fault with anything that I do. Last week, the bitch tried to throw me under the bus for some shit that she did, or rather did not do. We had a report to write. Each of us had sections to write based on our jobs. Our supervisor wanted me to put everything together and take the lead in putting together a presentation. I kept asking this bitch for her material because she kept missing deadlines and shit. And when she did get something to me, it was bullshit. I cleaned it up as best I could before submitting the report to our department head. The next day, our supervisor called her into the office. About 20 minutes later, the hoe walked out of the supervisor's office and smiled at me as she walked past my desk. Our supervisor then called me into her office, and I was worried. She had what we call, quote, a tone, I do love that, unquote, to her voice. I prepared myself for the bullshit, and that is what I got. She told me that the bitch blamed me for her whack-ass work. I told our boss that I have receipts to defend my work. Homegirl said, don't bother, and that she knew that the bitch was fucking around. Okay, so I'm guessing the boss told her don't bother. You know, she knew that girl was lying. She said that she will be dealt with. However, I don't fully trust my white boss to check my white coworker. What should I do? Sheila. Okay, so Sheila, this your money, so you can't catch cases. Just up front. Now, if you got another job or you don't need this one, then, you know, but then you still catching a case, and who wants to be in jail if they don't have to be? I get that you want to get some payback on this heifer. I would probably want to put a boot in the ass as well. But is she worth it? Like, it might feel good in the moment, and maybe you could relish that ass whooping you want to dole out, but I don't think it's worth it. The reality is, you know, she is going to mess up to a point that even her supervisor, who might, you know, share her skin colors, like, nah, this hoe gotta go. It just sounds like her time is coming. And I can understand, you know, it sounds like, you know, when you say your white boss checking your white coworker, it sounds like there might be some issues, you know, because ethnicity/race is an issue, even when folks try to say they're colorblind and alike. Doesn't really happen that way. Perhaps you don't treat people differently based on their skin color, but the rest of the world does. And so you can't be blind to that fact and that reality, because that's the context we all live in. But that's another topic altogether. But I will say that, Sheila, it sounds like you definitely are paying a black tax in that office where you're working twice as hard, maybe to get half as far. But I believe that your boss, white woman that she may be, recognizes bullshit when she hears it. So all you can do is continue to do your work and keep a log of your communications with your coworker. I'm sure that the deadlines were clearly communicated. Hopefully they were communicated via email. This is a good time to use blind CC. If not, carbon copy of the email that says, okay, here's who's doing what, here's when it's due, here are the parameters of what everyone is working on, you know, setting the expectations. I believe that that's the email that you want to CC the supervisor on, because, and they shouldn't say to you, why are you sending this to me? They need to know if this is work that's being submitted to them. They need to understand how it's going, because they should be, shall I say, supervising. So, you know, definitely don't fuck with your money, Sheila. That ass whooping is coming her way, by hook or by crook, it's coming. So don't fuck up your money, and don't end up in jail. You know, you're in there and your hair all fucked up because, you know, you sound like a sister that's on the move. So you're concerned about that kind of thing. You know, you like to keep your game tight and make sure that you're projecting your desired image to the world. So, yeah, stay out of that. Continue to do your work. Cover your ass. Cover your ass. Keep your receipts current. And keep them secure. Back them up if you have to. Scan that shit and email it to yourself. So you got a record. If something happens to the servers at the office, you be like, hold on, hold on, let me go get my drive. Let me go get my USB drive. You got your receipts, okay? But you want to be able to pull them things out and just fan them. Like, you know, like a full house. Like, I'm laying it down, okay? So, yeah, go and drop that clit on the table. Let them know. I got the big hand. What you got? All right? Best to you, Sheila. Let me know how it goes. I just realized it was a follow-up, and I don't know what I did with it. I'll do it next week, y'all. The struggle is real. Okay. Our second and final letter for the day is from DeAndre. DeAndre writes, "My man cheated on me, and I'm having a hard time getting past the shit. The sex is not really what bothers me the most. It's the fact that he schemed and lied to do it. I told his ass that I was open to three ways and hall passes, but he said that he wanted monogamy. Then he went out and fucked two guys that I know about. I'm having a tough time learning to trust him again. He tells me that he's sorry and all the other usual bullshit when a nigga gets busted, but I don't even hear after the first time he said it. I'm not leaving him because I was open to an open relationship, but I'm not sure he can respect any rules that we would need to have for me to be okay with an open relationship. Not sure if I should stay with him because he won't give me the necessary space." I'm guessing that's to work through your process. Plus, I don't trust him to respect boundaries. How can I go about rebuilding trust with him, and is it even worth the trouble? Please help." So that's a letter from DeAndre having some man issues. DeAndre, the first thing, it seems like you have decided that he's worth it on some level. So it really does come down to rebuilding trust, because that's the only way you're going to be able to negotiate any sort of terms of extra, gosh, I don't want to sound all technical, but extradiatic relations. Or just any sort of sex and intimacy that he may have with someone other than you. So that, you know, negotiated non-monogamy, so to speak. Trust is a huge part of that, because in open communication, you have to be able to sit down and say, look, this is what I'm willing to deal with. I cannot be okay with this or this. You know, I had one ex that was very, he was interesting. He was, he's like, well, you can do this and this, but you can't kiss nobody else. And I said, okay. It's like, you know, and I mean, to him, the kiss was, that was reserved for him. It was a very intimate thing. And, you know, for me, I was like, it's not a problem, because I don't like kissing a whole lot of folks any damn way. So, you know, but I could be out there tossing salads and slobbing on knobs and you name it, and he was okay with that. But I couldn't kiss nobody. You know, whatever the quirks are. And I mean, I did hold up that end, and actually, I didn't mess with nobody. You know, one man at a time is enough. So I didn't take advantage of that. You know, that hall pass or non-monogamy, you know, as we sat there having this conversation over meatloaf. But if you stay with this guy, which it sounds like you've decided it may be worth the trouble for you to do that, you're going to have to rebuild trust. And, you know, one of the things that jumped out at me is when you said that he's not giving you the necessary space. I think you need to communicate to him very clearly that it's not so much I don't want to talk to you as much as I am working through some shit right now. And if you if you're feeling a certain way about them, like, you know, at this particular moment, I want to punch the shit out of you. I think it's best you leave me the hell alone. If that's what, you know, if you need to communicate that, do so. That's part of open communication at this point, because you saying that to him is pretty benign compared to what he did at this point. But I think he also needs to understand the full extent of how you are feeling about what he did. He needs to understand that he has a lot more impact on you and your feelings than he realizes. I've always understood that when people do something to hurt you, the apology is necessary, and it's always so not enough. It's just not enough. And so you do need that space to to reconnect with him and to really just kind of work through all your feelings to figure out, how do I find my way back to this guy? But one thing I will caution you about is that you're rebuilding a relationship, but you can't rebuild what you had. That's gone. It's gone. You can forgive him for what he has done. You can forgive yourself for, if you in some way blame yourself for what he has done. I allowed him to do X, Y, and Z. I knew better and I didn't do anything. You know, whatever thing you might want to throw in your lap, which I don't think is really yours. Because the reality is, he's a grown ass man. He made the choice to go out and you know, fuck somebody else. And not just one somebody, but two. And you're thinking he's done more than that, because these are just the two people you know about. So, yeah. Let him know what it is you need from him. Whether you need him to leave you alone and give you some space. Whether you need him to stop rolling up behind you and, you know, grabbing you like everything is okay and you're in the honeymoon period, because you're not. You don't say how long you guys have been together. I'm guessing probably a good amount of time. I mean, I would guess at least a year or so. So, yeah, command your space. Demand that from him. Get aligned with some good communication. And when I saw your letter, I wanted to make sure I gave you some advice that you can kind of work with and the process to kind of go through. And this one is actually, I found some guidance from loveisrespect.org. So that, once again, that is loveisrespect.org. And they talk about building trust after cheating. And, you know, they say basically the first thing is communication needs to be open. You know, I don't know if you guys know how to fight fair, so to speak, which basically means you need to argue what's in the present and not bring up the past and throw it in their face, because he can't undo it. So bringing it up constantly is going to make him, even though he did it and he wrong, it's not healthy, because it puts him in a space where he's having to excuse and defend something that he can't do anything about. So your argument at this point may have to be with him. Your argument with him right now may have to be about the fact that he won't leave you to hell alone. He won't give you your space that you need to heal and go through your process before you can re-engage with him. Okay? As I said before, yeah, be on the same team, where they're basically saying, oh no, this is a little different. It says the relationship may not look the same on the other side. So no, on the other side of this, this cheating and the conflict and the healing, the relationship is not, it may not be the same. And it may even look the same, but it won't feel the same to you. And it may not feel the same to him, depending on his personality and whether he knows, like, wow, I don't know if he's ever gonna really truly trust me again. So definitely understand that, like I said, you're rebuilding, but it's not going to be what it was. There's always going to be something different. There's not going to be the same level of trust, maybe. There may be the same, you know, he may still get up and go to the gym or whatever it is, and once upon a time, you didn't think about what he was doing or whether he was really doing what he said he was doing. Now, for you, it's just, I don't know if that motherfucker really going to the gym. And is he in that damn steam room getting a blowjob? I don't know. That's now on the table, potentially, for you. Another piece of advice they give you is to stay present-oriented, as they call it. And they basically say, as I suggested earlier, is staying in the present moment and building toward the future. You know, you can't live in the past and you can't really worry about it. You basically, as they suggest here, you got to let go of those feelings at some point and move toward a more positive and open approach to the relationship. And if you're not able to do that, then probably isn't worth saving a relationship. Not every pairing is meant to be forever. The lust and the passion can be there, but y'all can't live together. You're not a very effective team. Who knows? So don't force it. Don't force it. Some of the things they say is to trust yourself. You know, they talk about questioning your instincts and, you know, what could you have done differently? Should you have seen it coming? The reality is, if you are experiencing any doubt about yourself, you need to basically put those doubts to bed. If the person you're with says, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, then you have to trust, you know, if they say it to you and you're like, okay, and your gut says it's cool, then you got to trust your judgment. If that person says to you 6 months or a year later, I'm going to the gym, and you're still like, I don't know about that shit, and you don't, it just doesn't feel right, then it may not be right for you. Let it go. Okay? Let's see here. Okay, that's advice for the person who cheated. But yeah, as I say often in a lot of the letters that we get about relationships, communicate, communicate, communicate. Be as raw as you need to be. Be as vulnerable as you possibly can. I always say that, you know, if you're in a relationship with someone and that person, you don't trust them to experience the full range of your emotions, whether it be anger, whether it be a complete emotional breakdown and just inconsolable crying. If that person, you don't trust them to witness that and to help you through those moments, then you probably haven't chosen well. Might want to let that person go. And, you know, getting along well is not being in love necessarily. Good dick is not a reason to stay. It's, you know, it's a reason to come back, you know, if it's a piece, but it's not a reason to stay in a bad relationship. Okay. So DeAndre, definitely I'm feeling for you on that. I'm hoping that you'll be able to work through your process and really get back to a place where you're confident in your judgment, that you're confident in your man, and that the relationship that you guys are rebuilding and building anew is something that's good for you and good for him and good for y'all as a collective to help one another grow. And just really, that's why you're in one another's lives, to help one another grow. So definitely wishing you the best on that, DeAndre, and definitely reach out. Let us know how it goes. And so that'll wrap up the meat and potatoes of the Sexual Healing Podcast for this week. If you have a question you want to ask, as you saw today, we had a relationship question. We had a job career question with Catching a Case. You know, send your letters to sexualhealingpod@gmail.com. Once again, that's sexualhealingpod gmail.com. The address should be on the screen. I have figured out how to do that. I'm very proud of me. I'm learning this video editing software slowly. And if you like what you hear, be sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel that we have. That's also, if you do a search for Sexual Healing Pod, or however that works, that's the username. So, I have to do a better job of figuring out what this channel thing is. But subscribe to us on YouTube. There'll be a place for you to click on the screen at some point. I did learn how to do that. And also, if you just don't want to do video and you just want to listen in the car, we do have this as a podcast. That's how it started and most likely how it will continue going forward. I just felt like being seen today, so I'm still on video as well. Be sure to share this video or this podcast with a friend. Share it on your social media. That would be greatly appreciated. If you have comments about the show, use the hashtag sexualhealingpod. So it's just sexualhealingpod, and you can search for those and kind of see what the conversation's looking like. And if you send in a letter or you have an interesting comment or thoughts on something I've talked about, you just may end up on the show. At least your comment will, and you know, if you're quite, you got some things to say, I might invite you on. I am looking for, you know, for guests to interview and the like, and just to kind of keep things going. The show's evolving, and I'm really trying to figure out where it's going to go. I have ideas, but I also had a slew of deadlines this month, so, you know, I apologize for missing the last two deadlines. It's been a little rough over here, but be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts to rate the show. If you feel strongly, you know, definitely 5 stars would be appreciated. If you're really liking what you hear or something touched you, would appreciate a review as well. We're also available on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Music or Google Play Music or whatever they call that thing now. And Apple, of course, as we mentioned. You can find us most anywhere. Happy to be a part of the hashtag Pods by QPOC. That's PODSBYQPOC family/network. If you're looking for some interesting content, you can go to that, podsbyqpoc.com. Really interesting, fascinating work out there. Really cool conversations being had. But this show is definitely moving toward the area of health and wellness. We do have a show coming up talking about the Velvet Rage. Really excited about that. Co-host to be, special guest. I'm so sorry. Twitter didn't tell me you sent me a message last week. I would have called you. But I'll be in touch very soon, truly. I'll be in touch so we can get that scheduled. And hopefully that'll be the next episode that comes out. So that's about it for today. Is there anything I've forgotten? No, I'll just say in closing, my usual, be a blessing in the world, not a curse. And hopefully, you know, that applies to your pieces and your activities as well. But okay, y'all have a good one, and I will see you soon. Thanks for hanging out with a brother. Take care.